thanks for that.
Not a problem, Laura. Just because these calls are recorded, Laura, yeah, for training commands and purposes, can you just confirm your address again for me, please?
Yeah, it's 18 The Oval, Whitehaven.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So, yeah, Laura, I'm just giving you a call. I can see that you spoke with my colleagues 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And your case has now been passed over to the investigation team. So, basically, yeah, I will be... I kind of know, obviously, about your time and care. Just roughly read over your statement there. What I'm here to do is I'm here to build a picture on yourself in regards to how that time and care has affected you and did affect you, obviously, throughout your life so far. So it would roughly be around about a 10-15-minute chat, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect. Just to confirm as well that the password on your account is Glencoe.
That's correct.
Thank you. Okay, so what I'm going to start off by doing is just asking a series of questions just so I can represent yourself the best way that I can.
Yeah.
Okay, so just so I can get a good understanding about yourself, Laura, do you currently deal with any mental health issues at the minute?
Yeah, I know. I try not to let sort of like certain issues in my life affect me.
Yeah.
But I do have sort of like... Not, it's undiagnosed, but I do suffer from PTSD.
Yeah.
I'm quite intelligent, so, you know, I've read up on things and, you know, I know what's affecting me and why that's affecting me.
Yeah, of course.
I just don't like all the medication and stuff that the doctors try to palm me off with.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Something like a 1-2 take medication. Yeah, no, it works for some others, but some people obviously just want to deal with them, deal with things in a natural way as well, which I do understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like walking a cold dip.
Yeah. No. Well. Yeah. Obviously, instead of the medication, there is other things that can.
Yeah.
You know, relieve that stuff in the mind, which obviously, yeah, you know, you've got your little bit of a, you know, hobbies there, which is good.
Yeah.
That's really good to hear that. Okay, and do you get anxious within yourself, or do you feel down, anything like that?
Yeah, so I have a lot of down days, and I suffer really bad with anxiety.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Like, it's that bad, like... I don't even socialise. I don't go out socialising with my friends, because the thought of alcohol on board, I suffer with health anxiety as well.
Yeah.
So I'm completely teetotal.
Yeah,
I think
I understand
from, like, my childhood as well. My mum was an alcoholic, so, you know, drink sort of like had an effect. Seeing the way she was had an effect on how I grew up as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that, and to be honest, I do hear that quite a lot, which obviously it's not obviously the best or, you know, most efficient upbringing that you'd obviously wished for as a child or teenager growing up. And yeah, you know, we are all human, we all want the best out of our younger days, and so until we get older we can reflect back and be like, you know, I wish this or that would have been better.
Yeah.
I was saying to one of my clients yesterday, like, you know, I didn't really grow up with much of a dad,
yeah.
I can relate, you know. I look back now, I've got 3 kids myself, and I look back and I go, like, you know, the time and effort that I'm putting into my kids, like, you know, I'm sat there questioning, like, why did my dad do this for me? So,
yeah, absolutely.
So I do completely understand you there. But at the end of the day, obviously, you're your own independent woman, and at least you can be better in your life and for yourself. That's all you can take away from it, really, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I could never imagine or dream of putting my kids through what I went through as a child.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's good that you and I have both got minds like that, because there's some people who do fall down that same loophole and keep that cycle continuing, don't they?
They do, yeah. Privately between me and you, like, my siblings who have also made a claim, they, 2 of them have struggled so bad. They were the youngest 2.
Yeah.
And they struggle so bad with mental health. Like, my brother is just in such a bad place in his life. Like, it's horrifying to watch. You know, and
that's
the past defining, the past that he has as an adult now.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you said, it is sad to see, isn't it?
But
it's obviously some people just don't have that mindset or mentality sometimes, and you just wish you could just give them yours. So, do you know what I mean?
I know, I do all the time, yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I really do hope he's okay as well. Obviously, obviously, did you say that he's made the claim with ourselves as well, did you?
Yeah, there's four of us. I sort of like, I researched you guys and looked into sort of like what Scottish Regress was, and
but
my sister that mentioned it first, she's the youngest, so she's very sort of like, she looks into everything, you know, so she told me about it, and then I sort of like spent a couple of months researching it, and then I said to her, I've looked into it, and she's like, well, I told you about it. I was like, I know. I said, but you've got to look into these things, you've got to make sure that you're born with the right people.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that they're these companies, like scammers and stuff like that. I says, you end up giving your private personal information to God knows who.
Exactly, yeah, all the third parties and stuff, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Just like, obviously, just probably like yourself as well, you know, even when you're online and you're searching for a few things and you type in a few details, the next minute you're getting all these phone calls from all random numbers, and
it's just
a nightmare, isn't it?
It is. You can't look for house insurance in peace.
No, exactly. or even car insurance. It's an absolute nightmare, or even a phone bill. If a phone bill, your number get past the sky, and you're not even which sky, and you're like, no.
I tried bringing up about my gas and electric the other day, and this fella said, oh, I'm just going to pass you on to my colleague. No, so they rang me to say they were trying to get me the best price, and I was like, right, okay, that's fine. I'm optional for, like, having a look.
Yeah.
And so he was like, hello, this is Scottish Power. And I was like, I didn't agree to go with you guys. Oh, right, well, we've been passing on information that you want to sign up for Scottish Power. And I was like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, no, it is a bit of a headache. Yeah, but obviously on the subject that we've just been on in regards to drinking and whatnot, so do you not drink or anything, do you?
No, I can't, no.
Yeah, but okay, it's fine. And did you take any...
I did go through a stage in sort of like 2019 to 2021 where I did drink. I got to a point in my life where everything was just on top of me. My biological dad, he was poorly, and, you know, I was asking questions and not getting the answers that I knew were the honest ones. And I just sort of went into a downward spiral, and to be honest, I very nearly lost my children.
Yeah.
And that's what gave me the shock and the wake-up call that I needed, that, you know, leave the past alone because it's affecting your present.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And did you take any recreational drugs at all?
No.
Okay.
I have in the past.
Yeah.
So from the age of 16, I'd say from about the age of 40 up until I was about 23. So just as I was coming, when I came out of the care system, I just felt abandoned. I was out in the big wide world. I had nobody to support me. I just felt like I'd been put out there and left to pasture, really.
Yeah.
So I ended up with the wrong crowds, taking drugs. And my godsend was that I fell pregnant with my son.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It's a little bit of a sign, isn't it, to just escape the loophole.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. And that's a fault. Yeah, it really did. Okay, Laura, and one question I don't like to ask anybody, but unfortunately I have got to, but it's only so I can gather the best knowledge that I can about yourself.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to self-harm or take your own life?
So I self-harmed all the way through my teens, from the age of 11 until I was 18. And when I was 19, I just thought that I would be better off not here. And that obviously, that was made worse by my exit from the childcare system.
Yeah.
And then when I was 19, I just thought that, you know, life just wasn't for living, and I fell pregnant with my son, and that was my saving grace.
Yeah, no, that's, it's nice to hear that. It is nice, and obviously it's a pleasure to be speaking to you today. So yeah, thank you for the bravery in opening up there. When you was obviously 19 and you were having them that thought of, you know, it's better off not being here. Did you attempt anything or anything like that?
I always like to say no, but being almost 40, when I look back at that time of my life, I was using drugs as an escape, so
yeah.
I didn't really care about what happened to me.
Yeah.
To the point where I started mixing drugs in the attempt that, you know, maybe if I take this, I won't wake up in the morning, so I'm going to say, yeah, I did.
Okay. And when you say you were mixing drugs, what was it that you were mixing? Was it pills? Was it the recreational drugs itself?
Pills, cocaine, amphetamine, cannabis, and then I would take diazepam to sort of blend it out.
Yeah, okay, I got that.
You know, this is the first time in all my life that I've actually spoken about this. I've never ever been to a counsellor before in my life, because when I had my kids, they were my reason for living.
Yeah.
And then my partner in 2020 actually committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
That was a massive wake-up call for me that, you know, life is for living. You know,
yeah.
You've got to take each day as a new day.
Yeah.
Obviously, going from a child's home into a foster family who were, like, getting Christmas and birthdays all at once to being put into another foster placement that was awful, verbally abusive, and, you know, I suffered really badly with abandonment issues.
Yeah.
So losing him in 2020 was the worst thing that I could have went through.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that. It's sad to hear, and I'm sorry that happened to you. The positive note, obviously, from that, as you said, it's a bit of a wake-up call. You know, life, you know, you realise that life is for living. You know, you've got the kids now. It's sad to hear that, but, you know, you've been very strong in getting through that, and obviously with the kids alongside it as well.
Yeah.
I don't mean to feel invasive or anything like that, but obviously just
right.
The picture is the children that you've got with was that their dad, was it?
One of them, yeah.
My
son, who's now 18, his dad is on and off in the picture.
Yeah,
which also made me struggle and made me realise things about my own life. You know, how can you just be abandoned? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I could never imagine abandoning him. Kyren's 18, but he's only got the mental age of a 6-year-old, so he's got autism, ADHD, and a lot of health problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, his dad's never been able to accept that.
Yeah.
My daughter, that was my partner that passed away, that was her dad. We were together for 15 years.
Wow. So it's a long time as well, and it's like kind of like losing your life partner, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that. And one
part of, like, security that was the only thing in my life that was ever secure. It just came out of the blue, you know. He went to work on the Friday, didn't come home, and by the Saturday afternoon, he was gone.
Wow, no, it is. It's really sad. Excuse me, sorry. It's really sad to hear that. All I can really take from that is, obviously, you know, you in yourself, no, you should be proud of what you do for your kids, especially. I know personally, it's hard dealing with autism and ADHD together. Never mind them separately. Together it's a task in itself. But, you know, you wake up every day and you know you do life for them. So be proud of yourself, Laura. I want you to. If no one's really told you that lately, I'm happy to tell you. No, it takes a lot of courage for a woman to kick on every day and take on any challenges. Where, as you said, you know, there's some men out there that can't even accept the challenge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. No, that's, you know, that's
one thing I always wanted to hear from my real dad was that, you know, he was proud of the person that I'd become after everything that I went through in life.
Yeah.
And I never ever heard it.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And
even now, I've got three other siblings, and, you know, I've always felt like an outsider. Because the youngest one says that I didn't help her mental health because she felt like I abandoned her. Because I was always like the mom to them. Like, at the age of 8 and 9, I was cooking meals and using chip pans and getting them to school, and it just all got too much. And I ended up moving away from Scotland and moving down to Cumbria, where I've spent the past 25 years. And I ended up taking her out again, and she came to live with me, and it was all too much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but see, you haven't exactly abandoned her when you've moved away from the part of, you know, the part of your life where you didn't feel stable enough. You've stabled yourself in Cumbria, and then obviously you've come to a point where you've gone back for your sister and took her out and brought her to your life. So that again is another positive that you've done for yourself and obviously for your family as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on from these questions, obviously, but before I do, sorry, I just want to say, obviously, thank you for your honesty and your bravery in opening up to me. You know, you did say you've not really admitted anything much to anybody, really. I just do want to reassure you that obviously what you tell me is private and confidential. It doesn't go anywhere. Nothing gets put to, you know, local authorities, nothing like that. It all stays like with me. I'm obviously your case handler, so all I'm doing is the more you do open up to me and you tell me what the effects of, you know, the care system has on you and, you know, your family around as well, what you have to do for them, all this goes towards your case, towards the Scottish Government. So obviously the more that you tell me, the better that can strengthen your case. So obviously thank you very much for, you know, getting that bravery to and courage to open up to me. I really do appreciate that. It takes a lot of confidence. So, yeah, again, you should be proud of yourself for doing that.
I just want somebody to be held accountable, Adam, do you know what I mean? Like, and you always end up, like, I suffer now as an adult with relationships and stuff, and that's all because of what I went through in my own life. You know, we have so many social workers as kids, and, you know, you build these relationships with people that you feel that you're going to be able to trust, and then before you know it, they took away, and you're then with somebody else that you then need to rebuild that relationship with.
Yeah.
Plus with, like, staff members that weren't very nice to us as well, it just really darkened, like, my vision of how adults should treat kids.
Yeah.
Obviously, I knew that it was wrong eventually, and being the oldest, it was so damn hard just to watch it. You know, when I went to my second foster placement, I ended up running away from them, and I went back, and I wasn't even given the option of sorting things out. I was put straight out and sent back into another children's home, and I spent another 3.5 years of my life in and out of children's homes and passed from pillar to post and dealing with so many different adults. You know, don't get me wrong, some of them were absolutely lovely, you know, and the lovely ones were the ones that made me realise, you know what, there are good people out there in the world.
Yeah.
But there's also some bad ones as well. And I feel for any young child that is in the care system, it's not a nice place to be.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's definitely not. And to be honest, I am hearing that quite a lot. Well, obviously, when dealing with this redress scheme, is that people do, they do tend to struggle with relationships, whether that's friendships, obviously, you know, relationships in itself. There's always that kind of like a attachment issue, shall we say, to somebody, and obviously it's understandable, because obviously as you said there, you're getting passed from pillar to post, so that is common. Don't feel like that's not common. It's very, very common, especially, you know, coming out of the care system. It's because obviously it weren't the best experience for yourselves, so yeah, that will come. That will, you know, you potentially will come across them people who just understand. That's all you need, is just the understanding of it, and you'll come across them people. I've I've heard stories where, you know, the people didn't have them relationship, you know, or sorry, did have them relationship issues, and then they've come across people and gathered like a little bit of a circle, and they've just got that little bit of a close knit. And it does come, obviously, time. I always say to everybody, time always does its thing. There's never a rush on anything. It doesn't matter the number that you've got over your head. It does not matter. Things just surprise you when you don't expect it. Do you know what I mean? And that's just that little, just holding on to that little bit of hope. It'll come. If you don't, and if you obviously you get in your shell, and you obviously, you know, you don't. I don't want to sound cheesy or, you know, anything like that, but if you don't kind of like manifest that and have that hope, it's never going to come.
Yeah.
So it will. It honestly, it will. And yeah, we'll definitely get you that official apology from the Scottish Government. That recognition for what you've been through. I'll explain all that in a little bit on how this case does go. Just before I do, can I just grab the details of your registered GP, please?
Yeah, so it's Lalva Medical Centre, so LOWTHER, and then Medical Centre.
And is that in Cumbria, is it?
It is, yeah. It's, do you need the address?
That's what I'm just having a look for now.
It's One Castle Meadows.
One Castle Meadows, Whitehaven.
Yeah.
Perfect. No worries. And how long have you been registered there for? Is it since you've moved down there?
Yeah, I've been there about 25 years now, yeah.
Okay, and then to go through your locations of the care settings, we've got, is it Dreghorn Children's Home?
Yeah, that was in 1998 until 2001.
Okay.
No, until 2000, sorry. We left the deputy of the millennium.
Ah, right, okay. Scotland. Just grabbing them details now. Okay. Childcare centre, not a children's home.
I don't think what? It is a children's home anymore.
What area was it in? Was it in Edinburgh?
No, East Ayrshire.
East Ayrshire, okay.
So, if you want the address, it is... Main Street.
That's okay, let's have a look.
So it'll be 172 Main Street, Dreghorn.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've done good to find that.
Just because I know where it's at, so I've just gone onto Google Maps and I've clicked the house, because it's not actually numbered. I've clicked the house next door. It's 104, sorry. 104, okay. Main Street, Dreghorn.
104, okay. Because, yeah, we use, like, a AI assistant tool, and
yeah.
I sometimes all I have to do is just type in the care setting, and normally it's about 98-99% good to me, where it'll tell me sometimes it's closed, it closed down in this year, this is what it was used for, so, like, you know, 4 to 30 children were placed, it gives me a lot of facts, and unfortunately it doesn't give me anything. I'm glad that you've given me a little address there. Plus, obviously, you just said that it's in East Ayrshire, so we don't exactly write to the care centre itself anyway. It's more so the local authority. So obviously we'll deal with East Ayrshire City Council, and we'll send off records to them. So I'll just grab them details.
It'll be North Ayrshire.
North Ayrshire, sorry, yeah, go on then. 104 Main Street, Dreadhorn. North Ayrshire Council. Okay, and then we've got a name of your foster parents here, of Margaret and Gordon, is that correct?
No, so we left Dreghorn and we were fostered by Brian and Isabel Quinn to begin with.
Okay, then. Brian and... Is it Isabel or Isabella?
Isabel.
Isabel Quinn. And where or what city was that in?
So we lived at Mill Farm, Ardrossan.
How do you think you'd spell Ardrossan?
So it's A-R-D.
Yep.
A-R-D-R-O-S-S-A-N.
Okay, yeah, I've got that. Okay. Okay, perfect. And how long was you with Brian and Isabel for?
We were with Brian and Isabel. Until February of 2002.
So that was from the 2000 to 2002, was it?
Yeah, it was just short of 2 years.
Yeah. Okay, and then you did mention earlier you went to another foster family, but obviously that wasn't the best in your eyes. So did you run away, or did you?
Yeah, so we then got fostered by friends of Brian and Isabel. That was Margaret Reid and Gordon Campbell.
Okay, Brian and Isabel. His name's... What was it, sorry, Margaret
and Gordon Campbell. Margaret Reid and Gordon Campbell.
Okay, and how long was you with them for?
Oh, it wasn't very long. It'll have been 2002. I think it was October 2002 until January
2003. Okay. 3 to 4 months. Okay, and was that in a similar area again, was it?
Yes, that was 57 Windmill Street. And that's in Saltcote.
Ah, yeah, I've got that. Ah, so that's just outside of Andros and that, isn't it?
Yeah, we didn't move very far.
Yeah, okay. Let's get the postcode for that. Perfect, Laura. Thank you very much for confirming them with us. Obviously, as I said, we'll be writing to the local authorities for the subject access request of your care settings. Once we do that with the local authorities in Scotland and also your GP, I can see here that you want your records shared with yourself.
Yeah, I do.
I'll just make another note of that as part of my notes here.
So do you need where I went after that?
Have you gone to another place, have you?
Yeah, so
yeah.
After when I got took away from Margaret and Gordon's by social services, I got put into a place, a children's home. It's called Harley Place, and it was on Harley Place. That's the name of the road as well.
Ah, yeah, I've got that. Yeah, 16 Harley Place, Saltoats.
Yep.
Okay. After first And how long was you in Harley's Place for?
I was in Harley Place for from the January until the June.
So yeah, around about 6 months. Okay.
And then from there, I was then moved to another children's home.
Okay, and where was that to?
That was to 17 McKellar Avenue, and the children's home was called McKellar Avenue.
So is that MICHELLA?
No, M small c capital K E L L A R.
Ah, that's okay. And what was the name of that care centre? Was it McKellar Children's Home, was it?
McKellar Avenue Children's Home.
That's what it was called, yeah, okay.
They said that it was like a post-16s sort of like independent unit where you could learn to live independently and, you know, we had to do our own shopping. We got an allowance every week to do our own shopping and stuff like that.
That's okay.
You were never really independent because staff went with you. You bought what you wanted. They paid. You know, we were never taught, sort of like, we were never given the chance to sort of like handle our own money.
Yeah, and I understand that.
And I was there from... I was there from the June of 2003 until, I think it was about July 2004.
That's okay, I've got that.
No, 2005, sorry, 2005, because I moved to Cumbria the year that my nephew was born, and he was born in 2005, so I was there until 2005.
Ah, right, okay. So it was about 23 months then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
23 months. Excuse me. thank you very much for all that information. Obviously, when we've done that initial phone call, when Billy's done that initial phone call with yourself, she has only grabbed the Dreghorn and obviously Margaret and Gordon Foster family. So just having that additional detail helps strengthen your case. What I will let you know, obviously down the line throughout this process, we'll get your records and stuff, get them back to you, and go through everything with yourself. And then down the line, before we do present your full application to the Scottish Government, it may be myself, it may be another colleague of mine who does the subject access requests. We'll gather a big, massive witness statement from yourself to go through each care setting, what exactly happened. Obviously, I know you've given just like a kind of brief summary of what's happened in the two care settings already, but obviously we just additionally mentioned a couple more. We'll just gather as much information as we can, how it's affected you, what happened, and then obviously present that in a nice formal application to then present to the Scottish Government. But as I said, this will be done at a later date. It's not to be done today, tomorrow, or next week. This process is going to be around 6 to 12 months. And that's just gathering your records, go over them with yourself. As I just mentioned, and making a full official statement, putting everything together, and then obviously we'll pass that on to our lawyers then to then present that to the Scottish Government. What we do tend to fight for, as I've mentioned earlier in the phone call, is we do like to fight for an official recognised apology from the Scottish Government. Alongside that, we do fight for some financial compensation for yourself as well, that's rightly owed. Our case that we're building for yourself, that is getting put forward to an independent panel in Scotland. It is done behind closed doors, this hearing, so it's not something that you or I have to attend. Also, we'll be letting you know nearer the time is the date of that hearing and the result of that as well. Just before we do come to the conclusion of the phone call, I just do need to take a step back and just go through the funding options that are out there for yourself. Now, I know Billy would have gone through this only a couple of weeks ago, and I do understand that it's a little bit repetitive. I just, from my end, I have to go through this again for my compliance team. But once this is done, obviously I'll formally ask you whether you would like to move forward with ourselves or whatever your options may be. Obviously, if you agree to go with ourselves, we can then get started on your case. I can leave you to enjoy a nice Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Does that sound good, Laura?
Yeah, that's fine.
No worries. Thank you very much. Okay, so Laura, when it comes to the Scottish Redress application, you do have three options when it comes to the funding. Option one is that you can apply for yourself to do this application without a solicitor or a law firm representing you, and that's just gathering your own case, building your own evidence together, and then presenting that case to the Scottish Government. Option two is that you can instruct another solicitor or a law firm that participates in the government legal fee scheme, whether that be in England or Scotland. They participate in the government legal fee scheme where they're paid £2,000 by the Scottish Government to handle your case. Now, for legal reasons, I can't exactly say how or what they do with your case because I don't want to give any misinformation out. But what I can say is, with option three, us being an independent and private law firm, we work on a no-win, no-fee basis. So for whatever reason, if the case doesn't go in our favour, then we won't come looking for any financial needs. Obviously, that we've put into your case, we don't like to cause that stress or burden on yourself or anybody. We are covered from our end. If and when the case does go in our favour, we do take a percentage of 16% plus VAT, which is 19.2%, and that does not change at all. That is capped, so it doesn't matter on what kind of compensation you may receive. We'll never come wanting more. We just want to obviously be rightly owed the efforts and time we've put into your case, really. So are you happy to use MMA Legal as your law firm moving forward?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
That's perfect, Laura. Thank you very much for confirming that. Okay, I can see also that Billy has put on a cooling off period on your case file here, which obviously that was 2 weeks ago, so that did expire on the 27th of April. Also, just what that meant was, from your phone call with Billy until my phone call now, you had 2 weeks to, you know, go away if you wanted to go to another law firm, rip apart agreements. Because that cooling off period has expired, we can't get started on your case straight away, especially with you saying that, you know, you want to use MMA legal moving forward. So before I go, are you happy? And do you have any questions for me at all?
No, not at the moment. I don't know.
Okay.
What we've talked about.
Perfect. Well, as I said, my name is Adam, and save this number that I'm calling you off. If you've got any questions that do pop into mind, anything like that, you're more than welcome to give me a call. And throughout this process, I'll be giving you a call every 4 to 5 weeks with a bit of an update on how we're moving or progressing on your case.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, Laura, thank you very much for your time today. I really do appreciate it, and obviously the honesty that you've brought to myself. As I said, I do appreciate that, and I'll be doing everything that I can to make sure that we get the biggest and most we can out of the Scottish Government for you.
Thank you very much.
Not a problem, Laura. I hope you have a lovely day.
You too. Thanks very much for that.
Not a problem. Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon. Bye now. Bye-bye.